Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Everybody, how you doing? Well, god damn it. Welcome to PHLY Flyers, presented by Mortgage CS. Check out mortgagecs.com/PHLY to start your home buying process today. Company NMLS ID number 1464766. My name is Bill Matz. I'm your director of fun and games for the evening. Joining me tonight, the one and only JP Zapata, Charlie O'Connor, will be by, you know, at some point or another. Rough game to lose. I mean, that was absolute freaking insanity. Flyers played their asses off in this one, ultimately lose 6-5 in overtime. They have a lead, 2-0, give it up. All of a sudden they're trailing in the game. They fight back. We see a 7-goal third period.
Wow.
Flyers are able to get a point out of it, which keeps them for the time being, based on total points at least, in that third spot in the Metro Division. The Capitals won tonight, so they're 1 point behind the Flyers with 2 games in hand. We'll get a little bit into the playoff race in a bit. But this was an absolutely insane game, JP, and my biggest takeaway is I think of the Boston game with the big comeback at the end.
I'm with you.
Tying it in the third, getting a point against Carolina, Forster's clutch goal in the other Bruins game that they won. This team's never out of it.
Right.
They struggle from time to time with goaltending, as was the case tonight. Mm-hmm. They struggle to score. Sometimes there are just games where you go, I don't think they're scoring. But regardless of circumstance, this team continues to fight back. They gave up a few goals tonight that you just go, that might be the backbreaker. You know, they give up that shorthanded goal with, you know, a chance to take the lead, and you're like, I don't see this one working out tonight. No. And then they still continue to fight back. I really, really want to see this team in the playoffs because their games are going to be freaking madness.
Yes. Yeah, no, absolutely. And first off, we got to ask everyone here tonight, were you not entertained? Because that was an entertaining game, despite what the result may be. But Bill, like, we're going to talk about some little things. We'll talk about the standings that may concern us all. But if you look at this game, to me, there is a positive because, again, Bill, you went up against one of the top teams in the East. You went toe-to-toe with them. And by the way, this is a Flyers team that averaged just less of 3 goals a game, and they put up 5 goals here tonight. So
on Igor Shesterkin, who has been on a heater lately.
Exactly.
He started the season slow. It looked like it was like 90-year-old John Quick going to supplant like Igor Shesterkin here. Like Quick kind of kept their season alive, and now you see like they're in the President's Trophy race. Shesterkin has really turned it on, and you saw his numbers during the broadcast against the Flyers, 11 starts, a .940 save percentage. Not quite the case tonight. Now, he did make some big saves, and the Flyers really peppered him, especially in the third. But ultimately, you got 5 goals on one of, if not, you know, one of the 3 best goalies in hockey, probably.
For sure.
Like, that's a pretty great night, and it just stinks that they're not able to get the 2 points out of it. Because they really fought tonight.
Yeah, no, and like we talked about the Flyers in the past, you know, during these past couple of years going up against the big teams like the Rangers and the Bruins and them having the number on us. But you look at this year, some of the matches, some of the games against the Boston Bruins, even the Florida, let's throw the Florida Panthers in there as well, and the New York Rangers. You have played them really hard. And like we talked about, you were in a shootout with the New York Rangers here tonight. And unfortunately, it didn't go your way. We'll talk about OT, but I mean, I thought there was some good here tonight. It was exciting. I mean, going back and forth, you and I were screaming after every goal in the third period.
I'm sitting there like trying to come up with the stuff I have to write so we can like put the show on YouTube. And it's like, I don't know where, like, this game is clearly going to have four more goals in it.
I know.
When do I write this thing? And it was absolutely freaking insane. I was obviously in a very entertaining game. Enjoyed that aspect of it. Some things a little disappointing, and I guess I'll start with the last one. The thing that bothered me to end the game. Once again, the Flyers fight hard to get a point and push the game into overtime. Mm-hmm. And then John Tortorella elects in the 3-on-3 skills competition to not put his best players on the ice. On the Rangers' end, we have Artemi Panarin, a guy who has been a Hart Trophy finalist before. He's a superstar in this league. I believe he got to 100 points tonight. Vincent Trocheck and Adam Fox, one of the 3 to 5 best defensemen in the league, has a Norris Trophy.
What the Flyers put out there, huh?
Ryan Poehling, who we are going to sing like some praises of Ryan Poehling in a little bit, Noah Cates, and Travis Sanheim. Now, these three guys have absolutely surpassed all expectations.
Sure.
But that's not a beneficial matchup, especially when you're on the road and the other team. Like, I get that you, okay, those guys know how to check. Like, those are your checking forwards right there.
It's 3-on-3 hockey.
At the end of the day, if the Rangers win the faceoff, you're not getting the puck back.
No.
Like, you have a group of stars out against a group of third liners at best.
Yeah.
And this is not to knock those guys. It's just 3-on-3 hockey is all about pace and space. You have a bunch of skill guys out against a bunch of guys. Like, Poehling scored his 10th goal tonight. That's his career high. These things just don't add up.
Yeah.
And I know. You take the good with the bad with Tortorella. You look at what he's gotten out of this team thus far, and it's like, how can you knock him for the micro decisions when you look at the big picture and go, I'm very, very happy with this season. But goddamn, it's when you're in this, you know, like when you're in the moment, those decisions, like, man, it's going to determine a playoff game.
Yeah.
Like, we always talk about the big sample size versus the small sample size, and you take what works in a big sample and just kind of hope. Like, the Carolina Panthers' entire philosophy. You know, well, we just take what works in a large sample size and hope we can win a playoff series. Like, it works for us in an 82-game season. You got to get there. That's what you do with Tortorella, but, man, if Frost and Konechny are out there, and I know Konechny got banged up at the end, so maybe you go Frost, Tippett, something. Not those three. Like, not against the other three that the Rangers put out there. They put out legit superstars, and you answered with guys who you're hoping are on your fourth line when this team's good.
Bill, we were just here last week talking about the OT lineup against the Carolina Hurricanes as well. And the thing is that, like, we want to put yourselves a chance to win the game. Like, I understand what you're saying. I understand what Torch is coming from. But this is 3-on-3 hockey. You want still skill guys out there to give yourself a chance. As we got Kyle with a super chat here as well. I get the thing we've been saying all year that this team doesn't – wait, I'll read right here. That this team doesn't – sorry to read it. Doesn't have elite talent, but it's so frustrating starting every OT with your best
without your best guys. Yeah. No, that's exactly. It's like you're just not putting the team in the best chance to win. And we talked about this after the last time this happened. It's like, well, you know, if we can survive that first shift against their best guys, and I compared it to the Super Bowl where Kyle Shanahan was like, well, we wanted the ball third. And Andy Reid's like, yeah, we were never, like, if they score a touchdown and then we come down and score a touchdown, we were never tying it. Like, we were going for two and winning or losing. Like, yeah, but what if you don't survive the first shift? And that's at least last time they got to one line change. It ended shortly after that. This time they don't survive the first shift. It just doesn't make sense to me to not put out your best guys, especially when they played so well tonight. The clutch scoring you saw out of your top guys. I mean, shit. If you don't want to go, and I get with maybe some speed out there, but if you don't want to go with Frost and Tippett, I don't know, man. Go with Lawton and Forster.
Yeah.
You telling me those guys can't check? Like, I don't know. Those are some pretty good checking forwards as far as I'm concerned. I just do not understand this decision that costs them ultimately a point. They haven't beat the Rangers since April of 2022. They're a really good team. The Rangers could very well win the President's Trophy this year. They're a legitimate cup contender. You went toe-to-toe with them, but we keep saying in this stretch, like, they're so close. They were so close to, like, having an incredibly successful seven-game run here, and just a couple little things. Felix Sandstrom a couple of times lets them down. Some overtimes just don't go their way. Like, they are a few decisions and a few saves away from being, like, 5-1-1 in the seven-game stretch.
But not to mention, obviously, this is not your most talented skill-wise lineup that you put out there, but, Bill, like, Ryan Poehling, at the end of the third period, looked like he was a little bit hurt. That left hand did not look 100%. And, oh, by the way, we weren't even sure Travis Hanheim would even play in this game, and yet he's out here in overtime as well. So now, not on top of the fact that you're not putting your most skilled guys out there, you're putting guys out there that are hurt.
It was absolutely nuts. And maybe John Tortorella just needs to take a step back and chill. Yeah. Like, it seems as if he's maybe galaxy braining this a little bit. And what he needs to do is find those Blue Mountains, have himself an ice cold Coors Light. Listen, this team, they drive us absolutely nuts. We've been doing this. We're at game 73 now, JP.
Here we go.
We've been doing this a little while. We're still able to get as fired up as we do about them. And that's why sometimes we just need to take that step back and chill. There's no better way to chill than with an ice cold Coors Light. So whether you're freaking out about, I don't know, goaltenders, injuries, the overtime lineup, you need to find the Blue Mountains in your fridge and enjoy a beer as cold as the Rockies, because when everything surrounding your favorite hockey team is on fire, sometimes you just gotta chill. When you choose to rise above it all, choose chill, choose Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/PHLY hockey. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Now, that was a freaking insane game, and I do want to chill on the like over the top bashing of them, because it's hard to ask for much more from 60 minutes of hockey than we just saw.
For sure.
You know, maybe a save here or there would be nice, but I want to start with Tyson Forster. Ties the game 5-5 with like 3.5 minutes left in regulation. He had that game winner a couple of nights ago in Boston. I look back to that Ottawa game where he had the back-to-backs in the second period, including the penalty shot. He has been clutch for this team.
He has.
And I got this question in the Discord for Mailbag Monday, but I didn't see it till tonight because I always forget to check Discord. But if you're a diehard, Charlie's in there all the time. And if you just want to, you know, have a conversation with a bunch of other diehard Flyers fans, become a PHLY diehard and you get access to our Discord. But JChime90 asked me, if you check here for Mailbag Monday, is there someone besides the first line that could have an RJ Umberger versus Montreal impact on a playoff series? Someone from outside the expected scoring leaders that could exploit being a depth piece versus other depth pieces? Tyson Forster's that guy for me. I realize he's kind of bounced around the lineup, whether you want to call him second line, third liner right now. But he's that guy. You know, we talked a few weeks ago about who needs to step up for this team. And it was when Travis Konecny still hadn't really scored since he came back from his injury. Owen Tippett really hadn't got it going yet. It's like, well, it's the veterans. It's the highly paid guys. It's the dudes who've been here before. If you're leaning on Tyson Forster, dude is a rookie.
Yeah.
Like, he's a responsible two-way player, as we've seen, and he's got the scoring touch lately, but back off on, like, thinking maybe he's going to be one of those real clutch guys for you. During this stretch, he absolutely has been. I realize tonight It's not exactly a goal scorer's goal, but this is how, like, it's what we've been saying about Tippett and Forster, how you go from 20 to 30 and 30 to 40. You have the skill, you have the shot. How do you tack on those extra 8-10 goals to make yourself that much bigger of an offensive contributor? You get your ass to the net. You go to where goals are scored, which is in that blue paint, and you battle. That's what Tyson Forster did tonight, yeah, with some help from Ryan Poehling and all the guys down low. But or maybe it was Hathaway.
Yeah,
but
Hathaway on that one.
I am just very impressed with what we've seen out of Tyson Forster lately.
That is what we want to see. We always talk about that. We'll talk about Bobby Brink too, because, Bill, I love Bobby Brink's game here tonight. But Forster, look, there was a point early on in the season where he wasn't scoring those goals, but he was doing those little things, doing the forecheck, doing that dirty work, and now the goal scoring is coming. And what you're seeing right now, Bill, is a young kid who's confident, and he's flying high right now. And that goal tonight, the fifth goal, right place at the right time. And that's what you want to see from a guy like Tyson Forster. No, you're right. Like, you're looking at some of these veteran players step up, but a guy like Tyson Forster, like a lot of these young players that are behind these vets, they are stepping up and making big plays. And for Forster, man, it's a lot of fun, especially he's been on that line with Hathaway and Poehling, which is always a lot of fun, no matter who's paired up with them. Obviously, Cates was with them for a long time. But now, I mean, I'm excited to see what Forster's going to do with the stretch, man, because he's hungry right now, and you can tell.
And it's kind of crazy. Like, he went through such a period this season where he just could not put the puck in the net. And he was doing all the little things to keep himself in the lineup. But ultimately, he was a first-round pick because he can score.
Right.
Like, that's why he's here. And all the other stuff is what makes him, like, extra valuable. But goal scorers need to score freaking goals. Even with that prolonged stretch where it was like, man, what? This guy's got a great shot. He's always in the right place. Puck's just not going in. What's the problem? He's at 19 with 9 games left.
That's insane.
He's going to get to 20, 22, 23 goals probably. That's a hell of a rookie season for this kid. That's very, very impressive for a dude who had the struggles early. Just putting the puck in the net, having the prolonged scoring slumps, and now you're talking about that confidence. Like, maybe the one thing that was missing, he's feeling it right now, and that's absolutely huge for this team. I think he could be one of the guys who has the unexpected impact on a club. Like, if they're going to pull an upset in the first round, you know, whether it's against Carolina, if they hold on to this 2 seed, whether they fall to the second wild card spot, at which point they'll probably be, could be the Rangers as well, could be Boston. We'll see how it plays out. But I mean, there's so many. The President's Trophy and Eastern Conference, like top four, it's kind of in flux right now. But one of those top teams, Boston, Florida, the Rangers, maybe Carolina. If you're going to pull an upset, no matter who you play, it's going to be a freaking upset. Like, it's going to take depth scoring like that, the unexpected guy. And Tyson Forster being this force is one of those things that could help you out there.
So real quick, I want to give an update here on the rookie scoring. So obviously we don't know. I don't know if Chicago, Minnesota, if they play tonight. But Bedard's still in first with 21, Rossi with 20, and Tyson Forster in third there with 19. So he's right there with the tops of the rookies, man. It's crazy with that start of the season we're at now.
He's had an incredibly impressive rookie season. I just want to see him finish this thing out and maybe get a few playoff goals. You know, those regular season goals are real nice. Those playoff goals, though, those are money, man. You make money by scoring in the playoffs, and I'm hoping to see him do that. Someone else I think could have maybe an unexpected impact, and we're criticizing the use of Ryan Poehling to start overtime, and I think that criticism is warranted, but he has been really impressive, I think, lately. Like, there's a reason Tortorella is leaning on him the way he is, and he scores a goal on the power play tonight.
Yeah.
And that's 3 games in a row. Like, despite this power play absolutely sucking, they've scored 3 games in a row, which is shocking somehow. But we've talked about the lack of high-end talent the same way we talk about the 3-on-3 overtime, and that's kind of what's holding the power play back.
Mm-hmm.
They need the quarterback, the guy who just kind of takes over, whether it's a defenseman at the top, whether it's a distributor down low. They just need the one guy who owns the power play. They also need a consistent net front presence. The net front presence has
That's a good point.
been something that helps the, like, that makes the power play go for as long as I can remember. Now, John LeClair also had the huge shot, but he was absolutely awesome getting deflections and rebounds down low during his time. You think back to Mike Knuble, and I think the Knuble, the Knuble comparison to Poehling is maybe a little apt. Now, they're different players. Like, Knuble is a straight power forward, going to get down low, and he'll score a goal off his face. You know, it didn't. He was just going to battle his ass off in front. But Mike Knuble was 30 years old the season he scored his first, or the year he had his first 30 goal season. And I'm looking at Ryan Poehling and how he might be able to progress and make himself more valuable for this team. And listen, it's one power play goal. This isn't, you know, oh, he's got, you know, nine straight or something. But he is, in today's game, 6'2 and about 200. Yeah, like, that's a bigger body that you could get down low. We know how fast he is, so he can help you out on the forecheck. He can score a little bit, chip in from time to time. I think maybe, you know, you look at a guy like Zach Hyman, who's just, you know, right now for he just passed the 50 goal mark for Edmonton, playing off their higher end guys as a complimentary piece, but a complimentary piece who Tappan Merchant, you know, they count too, and you need those goals. You need your top six forwards to have somebody who just battles for you, especially on the power play.
Yeah.
I think maybe Poehling could fill that role for this team.
I hope so, man. That's really something we did miss. Like, I know a lot of people were kind of excited to see him leave Philadelphia, but JVR was kind of that guy. He was a deflection king. He was really good at getting those shots redirected into goal. He had a lot of goals like that. So, you know, I was thinking that Owen Tippett would be that guy, but, you know, Tippett has a lot of tools in his shed there. So, you kind of have to move him around, see where you can see him. But Poehling is that guy that, yes, you mentioned all the attributes that work well in front of the net. But, you know, you look at tonight's power play goal. I mean, the Flyers are the most dangerous when they're using the whole length of the ice. And that's kind of what you saw in that power play. But they spread out the Rangers' power play kill. And it was lots to Poehling right in front of the net. Nice little tic-tac-toe. And right,
it was some
right
really
in.
Good puck movement. I mean, it was a crazy really power play leading up to that. But three nice passes and suddenly you score a goal. That's all it takes. It just takes one. And now we are joined by Philadelphia's number one hockey beat reporter. It is Charlie O'Connor joining us. A wild back and forth game at the world's most famous train station tonight. Charlie, what are your biggest takeaways?
Bill, I'm sorry. I could hear you guys before I came on. The minute I came on, I can't hear you again. So I don't know what the issue is. Let me try coming back in and out.
All right. We will try to get Charlie.
Oh, never mind. Oh,
there he is.
I got you now.
Yeah,
hey,
Charlie.
I can hear you now.
All I did was make a world's most famous train station joke, crazy back and forth game. What were your biggest takeaways?
I mean, I think honestly, if you want to look at this from the most positive perspective, it's that the Flyers and every team in hockey knows that you don't get into a track meet with the New York Rangers. Like, that's just not what you do, because they are built to win, like, to win these kinds of back and forth trade chances types of games. They have the Artemi Panarins, the Mika Zibanejads, the Chris Kreiders, the Adam Foxes on the back end. Like, this is how they win. This is how they win games. The Flyers for two periods showed that they can slow the Rangers down. They played a defensive clinic, really, for the first, I would say, 35 minutes of this game. The Rangers finally started to get going around the around the 5-minute mark. They obviously score that goal on the power play. Zibanejad finally breaks through. And then they have some good shifts afterwards. They come out in the third and they're playing New York Rangers hockey exactly the way they want to play in order to win. And you're thinking to yourself, this is over. They take the 3-2 lead. I legitimately didn't think the Flyers had a chance. The most encouraging thing about this game for me is that while the Flyers certainly don't want to play a track meet style game against the Rangers, they showed in the third period that if they have to, they can hang with them. And that's exciting, because the Rangers, I mean, I don't know how this is going to play out ultimately. The Flyers obviously aren't a lock to make the playoffs, period. But if they make it, they could play the Rangers in round one. That is an option. And while it's concerning that they just can't seem to beat this team, well, the lights went off, so I'm going to be a little bit darker. Anyway, whatever, MSG, you never predict it. But while it's concerning they haven't been able to beat this team, and it's been a few years now since they've struggled to beat this team. The fact that they can hang with them and they seem like they're one play away from finally breaking through does make you feel a little bit better about that potential playoff matchup, because, you know, the Rangers worry me, of course, because ultimately you're going to have to beat this team four times. They seem like they can't even beat them once, but it does seem like they can play the styles they need to play in order to beat the Rangers, and that is encouraging, even if they haven't yet broken through against them.
Hey, Charlie, what's going on? JP over here. So I want to talk about the elephant in the room. We discussed this after the Carolina Hurricanes game at OT, but tonight the lineup, Poehling, Cates, and Sanheim to start it off, Charlie. Again, not a lot of skill there considering what the Rangers put out there.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as they did it, it jumped out at me. And, oh, boy, they're doing this again. Let's see how it works out. And then the Flyers don't touch the puck for the entirety of the overtime, and Rangers score, game over. I had every intention of asking John Tortorella why. John Tortorella chose not to speak after the game. So we got Brad Shaw the Flyers have lost three times over the past week. They lost the overtime game to the Hurricanes. They lost the Florida game on Sunday, and then they lost this game. Two of those times, Tortorella has chosen not to speak. The one time he did speak, he spoke for 39 seconds. So take that for what you will. What I will say is that I did ask Brad Shaw, and I prefaced the question with, look, this might be a better question for Torts, but it's the important question, why the Poehling duo to start overtime? And look, Brad Shaw, I'm not gonna rip Brad Shaw for his answer, because in the end, this is the head coach's decision, not the assistant coach. And it's not like the assistant coach is going to go out there and say, yeah, I disagree with my boss. But essentially what Brad Shaw said, which is exactly what I assumed the thinking of the coaching staff is on this, is that Poehling is a really good two-way player. They're putting the two-way guys out there in that first shift to try to win the faceoff and then ideally shut down the high-end offensive guys the other team sends out first. So then the second and third shift, they can throw out their offensive guys and take charge. Shaw also basically said, look, he thinks that Poehling has earned the right to be out there. He said it obviously didn't end the way they want it, but Shaw thinks he's the right guy to be out there. That's the thought process. I'm sure that is Tortorella's thought process as well, as we survive the first shift, we win second and third shifts. But as we talked about on the show, in my mind, the right move is to fight fire with fire. I know that Morgan Frost and Owen Tippett are not as talented as Artemi Panarin. We all know that. But you know who also isn't as talented as Artemi Panarin? Ryan Poehling and Noah Cates. And that the gap is significantly larger with those guys versus Panarin. With that much ice, I don't know. I'd like to have people on the ice that I think have a better chance of getting a goal rather than just having the best chance at maybe preventing a goal. And even here, they didn't even do that. And this isn't me shitting on Poehling and Cates. I think highly of both of them as players. I strongly disagree with this decision. I don't like the fact that John Tortorella didn't go up there to justify it. But the reasoning from Bradshaw was exactly what I expected it to be in terms of what I was expecting to hear from Torts. We just didn't hear from Torts. We heard it from Shaw.
Yeah, this is getting a little ridiculous, Charlie, with the coach just kind of, yeah, I don't need to tell you shit, even though I demand accountability from everybody and, you know, make a fool out of reporters every chance I can. But, you know, that's part of the Tortorella show. We'll never not have jobs covering this team. Charlie, I don't want to focus too much on the negative, because that was a fun freaking game despite the result. And the Flyers do pick up a point that keeps them, at least for now, in that third Metropolitan spot. And we got a question in the Die Hard Discord from JChime90. And he just kind of wondered, outside of, you know, the top end guys who we expect to score, who do you think on this team could have like an outsized impact on a potential playoff series? And he referenced RJ Umberger against Montreal. My answer to that is Tyson Forster, because he has been so clutch for this team lately. What do you think?
Yeah, that was before you even gave your answer. Forster was the guy I was thinking of. Obviously, he has one of the many big goals in the third period. You had to love the emotion from him, that celebration after the goal. That's the kind of stuff that makes people fans of a player when they see the player that pumped after scoring that kind of goal. It was a wild goal, too. It almost goes in. The Rangers stop it. The puck bounces out, and then Forster buries it. It was just a fun little chaos play. But, yeah, I think Forster is that guy. He's that X factor in a playoff series because you see it. You know, you see the flashes of what he might be able to become. Just like how Claude Drew, and I'm not comparing Tyson Forrester to Claude Drew in terms of what I think he will necessarily become in the future, but you think of Claude Drew in the 2010 Cup run. You know, during that season, he showed flashes. You know, he finished with like 40-something points. You know, you saw the talent, but it just wasn't all there. And then in that playoff run, he goes bonkers and is nearly a point-per-game guy, scores the game-winning overtime goal in the Cup final. Like, Tyson Forrester does seem like that potential X factor in a playoff series because the talent's there. He hasn't put it all together yet in terms of being able to do it consistently and on an every night basis. But if he gets hot in the playoff series, it's a lot easier to tap into talent that exists rather than for a guy just to like turn into a superstar randomly for four games. It's much easier when it's there. It's just not there all the time. Because hot streaks happen, and Forrester's the kind of guy who could potentially get on a hot streak at a really key time. He's been a big part of what the Flyers have done these past few months, to be honest with you. So that's the only reason why you might hesitate to call him an X factor, because he might not be an X factor anymore. He just may be one of their best six forwards, period. I think John Tortorella views him as much as that, but I love the idea of Tyson Forrester being a potential X factor in a playoff series. I think that certainly could be what he might be able to provide if the Flyers get in.
Charlie, let's stay on that positive train. I want to look at Bobby Brink. He really caught my eye tonight. 14:58 a time on ice, two shots. And he had that great opportunity in that first period. We had the nice poke check that led to a shot opportunity. What did you see from Bobby tonight?
I thought Brink had some really good shifts. That play obviously was great. He had some really strong shifts, I thought, in the third period as well. He's a guy where I know Tortorella has had his issues with his defensive play, with his checking at times this year. I want to see Bobby Brink in every game the rest of the way. I don't know if he's going to play well in every game, but I want to see him in every game. I want him to get this experience. Like, Ole Luksell, sure. You know what? If you play him or you don't, that's fine. I personally would rather see Ole Luksell than, say, Cam Atkinson at this point, because Luksell might provide you something. I haven't seen pretty much anything from Cam over the last month and a half. But if you want to pull Luksell out of the lineup, I don't really necessarily view him as anywhere near a certainty to be part of the future anyway. I want Brink to be learning from these games. I want Brink to, you know, 3 years down the road, when hopefully he is a 55, 60-point guy and he's a key part of the second or third line of the Flyers and a key part of the power play or whatever, I want him in March, when the Flyers are battling for a Metropolitan Division championship, hopefully, for him to draw on the experience of what he learned in these games. So I want Brink in these games, and I think he deserves to be in these games. He's playing well enough to justify being in these games. I thought tonight, the box score maybe didn't look great, but he had some really, really impressive shifts. And when you're playing a guy like a third liner, like a bottom sixer, if he gives you four or five really impressive shifts in a game, I'm okay with that, even if he's not making an impact every single shift, because that's the job of the guys that are getting 19 minutes a night, not the job of the guys that are getting 13, 14. I want him to be an energy spark plug. That's what Brink has been recently.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of all-star along the boards comments about Bobby Brink tonight, Charlie, and the references will never get old. We've talked a ton lately about the goaltending situation. Sam Harrison, I thought tonight through two periods, he stops 17 of the first 18 Rangers shots. We've seen him kind of step up against some of the league's really best goalies. And I thought, okay, here's another one of those performances. And then five of the last nine Rangers shots end up in the back of the net. I thought on the shorthanded goal, he really needs to get his stick on that cross ice pass. A couple of bad bounces. TK, you know, blocks the shot, and then it ends up on Lafreniere's stick. But what did you see out of Harrison tonight? Because this was a little bit of a bummer in the third.
Yeah, and Harrison said after the game he needs to find a way to make a few more saves. Look, yeah, you want your goalie to come up with some big saves. What I will say is that By the same token, Igor Shesterkin is a great goalie, undeniably, and he gave up 3 goals in that third period. Like, yeah, you want Arison to make more saves, but that was just a chaos third period. That was a back-and-forth, helter-skelter type of third. It was unbelievably entertaining hockey. Like, that was probably the most fun period I've seen this season. Not just Flyers-related, but, like, any hockey game this year. I think that was the most fun period I've seen. And sometimes in those periods, the goals are just going in because the shooters are feeling it and the goalies are just kind of hanging on for dear life. So, yes, Sam Arison needed to have a better third period. But I'm not going to kill him for it, because when you're in the arena and you're having there's a period like that, it just kind of gets out of control. And even a goalie like Igor Shesterkin has given up 3 goals because for whatever reason, the two teams are just feeling it and everybody's scoring. And that's kind of what happened there.
Charlie, let's stay on that goalie talk. So obviously yesterday we had the news of Alexei Koloslov coming over to North America. Some misinterpretation. He's not coming to the Flyers right away, correct?
Well, I did a piece on this for Diehards Only. So if you are a diehard, please check it out. It came out around 3:30, 4 p.m. today. This, I do think, is a case of just like us believing that Twitter is the entire world, because it's Twitter that is losing its mind over Koloslov, like absolutely going crazy over him, because it's the perfect storm. It is people who are like eat, sleep, and breathe Flyers. Those people on Twitter also tend to obsess over prospects because they eat, sleep, and breathe Flyers. And it's people who think about Flyers all the time, so they're desperately trying to find a solution to the Sandstrom problem. Here's the thing with Koloslov. Number one, just like, this isn't new information. It's not new information that he's trying to come over. The Flyers and Danny Briere and Keith Jones over the last 2 weeks have been open about the fact that they are working to try to help Koloslov come over because he's already on an ELC. He was under loan this year. They loaned him to the KHL, so he's already under contract. If they can get him over here, he can play for the Phantoms or the Flyers or whatever. He's allowed to. It's not like they have to sign him to a deal. He's already under contract. So if Koloslov wanted to come over and try to get some North American experience before he takes the run at a full North American season to start next year, which was always the plan, the Flyers are all on board with that. Does that mean, however, number one, that he's going to show up tomorrow? No. He is still working through the visa process. This is still a whole thing. As I said on the show yesterday, I very much get the sense that like the Flyers are not going to do anything to rush this, because they remember the Fedotov situation. They know they have Michkov coming in a few years. They don't want to rock the boat here. They don't want to get Koloslov in any trouble, because it feels like, you know, people from the United States are trying to expedite the process. So they're going to let that play out as it does. We'll see when he comes over. I do think he will get to come over to North America at some point in the next couple weeks. But whether that's in 3 days or 13 days, I don't know. It's just going to kind of come down to how the embassies, how the consulates, how all that stuff works out. Then, if he actually does get over here in enough time to potentially play in Flyers games, because let's be honest, the people losing their minds on Twitter about this only really care about whether he's going to get into Flyers games. They don't care of whether he's going to, hey, he'll get to play in a couple Phantoms games and maybe give Lehigh Valley a better chance of making the playoffs. That's not on anybody's radar. Everybody cares about whether he's going to be able to come in and play games for the Flyers in the middle of a playoff run. I don't get the sense that that idea has been completely ruled out without question. However, I do get the sense that there would have to be a lot of things going in that direction. Like he would have to show up, really impress the coaches in practice. Like, that would have to happen. Then maybe Sandstrom would have to have another really bad game. Or maybe Arison would have to be battling an injury. Like, there would have to be a few things happen for them to be like, you know what, we're going to throw Koloslov into a game or two. I'm not saying it's definitely not going to happen. I am saying that, like, I don't get the sense it's their preference, that it's not something that they are, like, itching to do the same way a lot of people on Twitter are itching to get Koloslov into a game. I don't think that's what's going on. However, we are still talking about the Flyers. They are the chaos organization. They do crazy shit. This would be crazy. Like, this would be, as much as people online seem to think this is, like, the no-brainer, which I think is wild, this would be objectively nuts. What you would be doing is you'd be taking a guy who hasn't played in 2 weeks. If it takes him, say, another week to get over here, you know, more days to have some practice to get a look at him. Like, he might be coming in, like, cold, a guy who hasn't played in a game in, like, 3.5 weeks. You're throwing him into a playoff race in a league he's not familiar with, in a country he's not familiar with, in a continent he's not familiar with. This would be objectively nuts. The Flyers, however, often do objectively nuts things, so rule it out entirely, and I don't think it has been ruled out entirely. However, I do not think that this is like the grand master plan of the Flyers, like we're going to get Kolesov over here and then immediately turn him into our goalie. If that's what you're hoping for, I don't think that's what's going on, but I can't rule it out entirely. These are still the Flyers.
Yeah, absolutely, Charlie. I just have a couple more for you. Well, really just one and then three stars. Scott Laughton tonight scores his 13th goal of the season to open the scoring, gets his 24th assist on the second goal, the power play goal. Last year, 18 goals, 25 assists, career highs in both. After all the talk of his down season, he's pretty much going to match last year's numbers in a few minutes less every game of ice time on average. He only got like 13 minutes tonight. What do you make of Scott Laughton's season and this second half resurgence?
Well, can I make a joke about how everybody who was terrified that Scott Laughton's trade value was going to go in the toilet can now, you know, take a big old chill pill on that front? Because I guarantee you, after these last couple months, if the Flyers want to trade Scott Laughton, he's going to have suitors. People are going to love what they've seen from Scott Laughton over these last couple months. Look, he's turned the season around, and I am going to pat myself on the back a little bit here, because I was the one in December and January saying multiple times on this show that I fully expected that at some point Scott Laughton would remember that he's a legitimately good forward and he would get it going. He's been getting it going. I don't think he is, you know, a game-breaking forward who is going to carry the Flyers, but I don't even think he thinks he's a game-breaking forward who's going to carry the Flyers. He's just a guy who's scoring now. He's playing the way he has to play. I mean, he's above Sean Couturier in the lineup. We can think whatever we want about that, but guess what? Laughton's scoring and Couturier isn't, so I guess there's that. Look, I'm unabashedly a Scott Laughton fan. I understand his limitations. I know that he's not an elite player by any means, and if the Flyers can get a haul for him in a trade, I'm not opposed to moving him. But he is showing over these last, really, I would say since the All-Star break, he's showing why he's valuable. He's showing why the Flyers don't want to move him, and he's showing why his teammates love him as much as they do. He's a really important piece for this team, both on and what he's reminding everyone of the last month and a half, both off and on the ice as well.
Absolutely, Charlie. And now without any further ado, let's get to your three stars. Lead it off with star number three.
Star number three. Oh, geez. yeah, it's kind of comes down to whether I want to do two Rangers or just one Ranger. I'll go with just one Ranger. Yeah, so I guess I'll kick it off. I'll say Scott Laughton as my third star. I think he had a really strong game all around. Obviously gets a goal and an assist. I actually kind of wonder what he could have done if he would have more ice time. He ends up ranking 9th among the forwards in ice time. I might have tried to get him on the ice a little bit more than he was personally. But I think Laughton made some really good plays. Obviously has that goal off the great pass by one Travis Konecny, who, spoiler alert, just might pop up in a second. But anyway, Laughton, strong game. We talked to him after the game. You know, he obviously was jacked about the third period, disappointed about how it ended, but excited about how his team dealt with this gauntlet of games. You know, they didn't dominate, but they certainly, especially over the second half of the gauntlet, held their own. And I think Scott Laughton was a non-significant part of that.
All right, let's go to star number two.
Yeah, star number two, I'm going to go with Travis Konecny. Obviously, the great pass on the Laughton goal, scores another goal in the third period. I don't blame him for the shorthanded goal, because I think that's an interference penalty that the refs miss. You know, basically what happens is him and Krocek crash into each other. Krocek knocks Konecny down, goes down the ice. The only reason why that's a two-on-one is because Krocek knocked Konecny down. Konecny was rightfully ticked off. I guess you could say stay on your skates, but that could have been an interference penalty. I think it probably should have been an interference penalty. So I'm not going to ding him for that play. I'm going to say that Travis Konecny had in my mind, and I know there were a lot of big goals in the third period, I think he had the biggest goal of the third period. Because the Rangers score early in the first, then they score again a minute and a half later. They take the 3-2 lead. You just felt like the Rangers were about to cruise. And then Konechny scores the goal that ties the game. Like, I don't think this game turns into as much of a track meet if Konechny doesn't score that goal, because I think the Rangers probably score another one and then it's over. Instead, it becomes the back and forth game because the Flyers stop that momentum string that the Rangers had. They don't stop that momentum string if their best player, Travis Konechny, doesn't go out there and score a goal. So I give Travis Konechny the second star of the game.
Last but not least, tonight's first star.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about a guy who it's probably a bad thing that I'm talking about him for the Flyers, but Alexis Lafreniere, this guy, the last two times the Flyers have played the Rangers, I think Lafreniere has been the best Ranger on the ice. I do. And that's scary because, you know, you can watch Panarin and be like, damn, this guy's real good. You can watch Zibanejad and be like, man, he freaking kills the Flyers. They're older. They're going to start declining. I mean, Panarin is already in decline. He's just so freaking awesome that even declining Panarin is still real freaking good. But
hit 100 points for the first time.
Exactly. Like, Lafreniere is young. He's going to be a thorn in the Flyers' side for a while. And for a few years, it looked like the Flyers had dodged that bullet, that maybe he wasn't going to be as good as they thought he was going to be when he was drafted first overall, when the Rangers get lucky in the lottery. You're like, man, the Flyers lucked out. You know, Kaapo Kakko and Lafreniere, they're not all that great. They're just decent players. The Lafreniere I saw in these last two games against the Flyers does not look like just a decent player. He looks like a guy who is really starting to come into his own. And I mean, that goal he scored with the puck, the shot that gets blocked, and then he just rips it. I mean, that was a ridiculous release. Like, that goes back to what I was saying about Erickson earlier. Yeah, you'd love him to make a stop, another stop somewhere. But like, I can't get mad at him not stopping that Lafreniere shot. That was a friggin' bullet. And that was just kind of the period. There were a lot of really, really good plays being made by really, really good players. I'm giving Lafreniere my number one star. I think he was the best player on the ice in a game of a lot of really good players making things happen on the ice.
All right, Charlie, thank you for joining us tonight. We'll talk to you again tomorrow from Montreal, I believe. So I'll be
in my hotel room.
Yeah. That'll be a lot of fun. Now get yourself out of that dump before they close you in there and you're trapped with all the rats.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Charlie.
That is Philadelphia's number one hockey beat reporter, Charlie O'Connor, coming to us from the world's most famous train station. Let me tell you for a minute about Olipop. Olipop is the world's first functional soda with a classic soda taste and the benefits of plant-based fiber, prebiotics, and other botanical ingredients to support gut health. Olipop is a new kind of soda with only 2 to 5 grams of sugar and 9 grams of fiber per can. Listen to this. 2 out of 3 Americans say they suffer from digestive issues, and 95% of Americans don't get the daily recommended amount of fiber. Olipop is tackling both of these issues with a drink that tastes just like soda. Listen, prebiotic fiber, it's the food source for the beneficial probiotic bacteria in your gut. And Olipop has 9 grams of prebiotic fiber in every can that can help support your digestive health. And listen, when you've got a gut like mine, you got to keep it healthy. Gut health, that much more important. Olipop is available online and available in almost 30,000 retailers nationwide. Most importantly, it's available at Wawa now, baby. Olipop's debut in Wawa couldn't be more of a match made in heaven. It's a delicious, healthy drink, meeting a convenience store where we already get everything else for our day. I love Wawa. You know this about me. I have a Wawa sticker on my laptop. Now I can get my Olipop fixed there. And I am a big fan of the Olipop, the flavors that they have at Wawa right now. Classic root beer and strawberry vanilla. I've told you I'm more of a traditionalist when it comes to soda. Cola is more my thing. I was very surprised how much I liked the strawberry vanilla. My wife loves root beer. I brought some home. She was like, when can we get more of this? We just got a delivery. I'm going to grab some on my way out tonight. But when we do run out again, we can just go right down the street to Wawa, get some more. Absolutely outstanding. You can get your Olipop at your local Wawa, or you can get it online. drinkolipop.com and use code PHLY20 for 20% off your next Olipop order. The discount only applies to one-time orders, not subscriptions. Olipop sold online. Again, drinkolipop.com as well as Amazon and available in almost 30,000 retailers. I told you about Wawa. You can get it at Target, Sprouts, Wegmans, all those places as well. Drink Olipop, baby. All right, let's get to a couple of these super chats, JP. Well, it's really just Permafrost X talking about Sam Ayerson. When are we going to admit Ayerson is a number two at best? It's not the number of goals he allows. It's the types of goals he's giving up. The defense isn't helping, but we have to be honest here. Sam Ayerson, unless he just absolutely completely falls off, which I expect him to bounce back, he's had an up-and-down rookie season. He's going to finish the year with the league average save percentage. League average this year is about .898, .899. That's where he's been all season.
Yep.
I think it's been impressive, the workload he's taken on.
Yep.
Especially now where he basically starts every game. They throw Felix Sandstrom in there a couple of times, but it's Sam Ayerson's net. I just don't think we can fully evaluate what Ayerson is. He might just be a tandem goalie. He might be a number two. They're going to need those things. They have no goalies right now. You know? they're going to need those things. I just think the way he has played this year, for the most part, outweighs some of his bad games. Where he got lit up tonight. He's got a .770 save percentage. He got killed.
Right.
He's been lit up a few times over the last couple weeks. He's also been very impressive a lot of times this season. I don't know if you can ask much more from a rookie goalie who was thrust into this position given the Carter Hart situation, given the playoff race that they're in. I just don't know if we can evaluate him yet. Maybe eventually that is all he is a number two goalie. I've been, for the most part, impressed, even though I'm disappointed in what we got out of him tonight. Also, some of the goals tonight, the Lafreniere goal, the second one, that Travis Konechny blocks the shot, and then the puck ends up directly on a Rangers stick, and he fires it, a bullet, as Charlie said, through traffic. He's supposed to follow that puck? I don't know. There's some rough ones. Like I said, the shorthanded goal, he needs to cut that puck off as it crosses the crease. We've seen that a couple times.
How about the power play? It's Kreider screens, a Banajak goal. That's textbook Rangers.
They score like that. All the time,
literally.
The overtime goal, I'd like to see him stop it. Also, Adam Fox, dude's one of the best players in the league. I'm just not ready to evaluate him one way or the other yet. That said, situation is what it is. You got to be better because this team's in a playoff race, dude.
No, Bill, you're spot on. I'm in the same boat. To me, it's tough. I can't say, he's a definite one or he's a definite two. But the fact is, you asked a rookie goalie in the situation that he was put in with the Carter Hart situation. By the way, we really don't have a backup goalie that we can rely on because, yes, we've seen Cal Peterson and we've also have seen Felix Sandstrom give up some terrible goals and some rough games where we should have won. So, Ayerson, tonight, obviously, you want to throw this one out there. But look, he's had some really good games as well. Games where you're okay, he could be the starting goalie for this team going forward. I think we're just going to need to see a full season where he is the guy. And not only that, where we have someone behind him as well, where it's not it's pressure, but more so he can take a break because you do need that as a goalie too when you're talking about an 82 game season as well.
No, we started the show talking about the goaltending matchup tonight. Yeah. Igor Shesterkin is at worst, a top five goalie in the league?
For sure.
He started the season really poorly.
Yeah.
And they had John Quick come in and kind of steady the ship and someone that could kind of be that veteran presence for the team as their number one rounded into form. I am not saying that Ayerson is ever going to be Igor Shesterkin. In fact, he's almost definitely not going to be. But going into next year, I'm looking forward to seeing what he can be back in a role more similar to the one he was in before Carter Hart, took his leave of absence and all that. I don't want to see him be the backup next year unless Kolesov just comes in, dominates, and he wins the job. But I'm looking forward to seeing them bring in a veteran who can.
Yes.
Hey, Sam Ayerson, a little tired, a little banged up. Maybe he's just had a couple bad performances in a row. We can put the veteran in for a couple of games. Not just, there's a back-to-back, so we have to play the the other guy. Like, he can start 2, 3, 4 games in a row, and then you can put Harrison back in after he's rested and reset and, like, be a bit more of a tandem and then see what he is from there.
I don't, like, whoever the young goalie is next year, whether it be Kolesov or Harrison, like, I want that veteran guy. Like, I even look back to when Carter Hart had Brian Elliott behind him. Like, yeah. Brian Elliott was a great backup because you can rely on him when need be. But also, I was a great veteran leader right behind Carter Hart. So, like, going into next year, would love for them to pick up a veteran goalie. It'd be huge.
Let me tell you about our presenting sponsor tonight. You know, they're behind every show we do here at PHLY Flyers. The presenting sponsor tonight, as they are every night, it's our friends at Mortgage CS. Listen up, the spring purchase market, it's here and it's heating up, man. Many clients, especially first-time home buyers, they're reaching out because they want to be ready when the rates drop. This is it's something everyone's doing. This is not a unique thought. And given that inventory is going to be limited and there's going to be strong demand because this is everyone's plan, that means competition for houses is going to remain extremely fierce for the rest of the year. So you got to get in touch with Mortgage CS to prepare and ensure you'll be able to stand out and make the strongest offer possible. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or you're looking to refinance, you just want to know what you have to do to qualify for a mortgage when the time is right for you, Mortgage CS should be in consideration no matter your situation, because Mortgage CS, well, they're made up of honest, good people and always work hard to not let their clients down. Don't take it from me, though. Check out their reviews on Google. They average 5 stars, and that's the limit. That's pretty damn good, if you ask me. Let's take a look at one of their most recent reviews. It's from just 3 days ago. It reads, "These 5 stars are no joke." Now he quotes his realtor, "Corey, your mortgage team is iconic. I've never seen a team so responsive, professional, and effective in all my years as a realtor." He says, "This is my realtor on closing day. Even these words don't do Mortgage CS justice. I closed on my home in a record-breaking competitive housing market, and they 100% made it happen. If it wasn't for their speed, proactive communication, attention to detail, expert-level guidance, and care through every step of the process, it wouldn't have happened. The platform and tools were easy to follow. They were there for us every step of the way and gave us the confidence and support we needed to get this done fast. Thank you, Maggie, Shannon, Ben, and Alec, for making this experience so seamless and for being so proactive throughout. I'll be recommending you to everyone, just like all of these other happy clients of yours." These reviews are so good, you think I'm making them up. They're not. You can go to Google.com. Google Mortgage CS right now. It's the first one that shows up when you Google new, when you sort by newest. I'm telling you the truth here. And this is what I've been telling you about Mortgage CS all season long. So when you hear the word mortgage, think of Mortgage CS. Think of Ben and Alec. You can save the CEO Ben Stucker's telephone number right now, 267-391-7425, to your home. Email Ben at MortgageCS.com, call or text anytime, day or night. If you're not in the housing market, not quite yet, maybe you have a house, you're happy, you're not ready to jump into the market, talk some Philly sports. What the hell is Tortorella doing, starting his fourth line in overtime against a bunch of superstars?
Is he ever going to talk to the press?
Yeah, will he ever talk to the press again? I bet you get more answers out of Ben than you do John Tortorella. That's for certain. Check out MortgageCS.com/PHLY to get started today. This advertisement is not a commitment to lend or extend credit. Mortgage CS is an equal housing opportunity mortgage broker. All loans are subject to credit approval. Certain restrictions may apply. Company NMLS ID number 1464766. Visit MortgageCS.com for more information. I'm going to take a look at this playoff race before we get out of here tonight. And it's tight, man. The Caps are coming. And as they said on the broadcast, we got the worst case scenario out of the Capitals and Red Wings game tonight. It, of course, goes to overtime. It's a 3-point game. The Caps end up winning it. They get to 81 points. They still have 2 games in hand. They are in that second wild card spot, but are somehow still ahead. Is that 562? Yeah, they're ahead of the Flyers by points percentage, but the Flyers have the total points lead right now.
Yeah.
It's tight, man. The Flyers, if they are going to hold on to this third seed, which I just really want to see them do, because making the playoffs no matter what is an accomplishment.
For sure.
No doubt.
For sure.
They're rebuilding. They don't have high-end talent. They lost their number one goalie in January. Like, this whole thing, this entire season has been insane from beginning to end, basically. What, 9 games left? It doesn't, after tonight, it doesn't seem as if it's getting any less crazy. They just played a 7-goal third period, and that's not the first one this month. This is going to be really, really tight. And you look at the Flyers' upcoming schedule, they have to take care of business against the teams. The gauntlet is over.
Yes.
The gauntlet is over, and they are still holding that third spot in the Metro, if only because they have the games played advantage. But you look at what they have coming up now. Montreal on Thursday, mm-hmm. must win. Mm-hmm. Saturday, Chicago at home, must win. And then the Islanders, you can put
them away.
You can drive the stake into them next Monday. Yeah. And then next Friday, Saturday, back-to-backs at Buffalo, at Columbus.
Will Bill throw his beer at the Wells Fargo Center?
There's a really good chance. But you're like, just looking at these next 5 games, I don't want to say they have to get 10 points. But they have to get 10 points. Like, they should win 5 in a row.
Yeah.
That absolutely should be the case. Then they have Montreal again.
Yeah.
That Rangers game, those last 3 games of the season, the Flyers still now, with tonight's loss, have not won a Metro Division game since December 19th, an overtime win against the Devils. They got to end that streak soon. You know, they have the Isles. They have the Rangers again. They have the three. They have Columbus in there somehow. They've lost to Columbus this season. Granted, it was an overtime, but you should never lose to Columbus.
No.
They need to end that streak against Metro teams, and they need to hold on to this third seed, because it seems like that should be the goal now. Like, yeah, you can get in even though you get passed in the standings by the Caps, but being third in this division, even though the division is absolutely horrible, that seems like an accomplishment for a team that came in with very low expectations, at least externally.
Yeah, like an average hockey fan would look at these 5 games and be like, ah, we got this, we got. But like, as a Flyers fan, I'm a little nervous. But I'm going to go back to the post-game show after the Bruins game. And what I said was that the Flyers are going to make the playoffs. I'm going to stick to that, and they are going to do this. Obviously, you have to take care of business against this team. These teams that, look, you on paper should be able to be at least get points, positive points in these games here. But we're going to find out a lot with these games here, because these games, you should have that playoff intensity for all of them, because you don't have a safe spot. And tonight's point, although frustrating, extremely important because of what the Capitals did. So we got to keep this ball rolling here.
You look at the schedule, it's a bunch of teams kind of on the floor, you might say. They're the floor of the Eastern Conference. Maybe that floor needs replacing. If you need new flooring, you got to go to Empire. That was so stupid. If you need new flooring, if you need new flooring, you got to go with Empire Today, because with Empire Today, you get shop at home convenience, the right product for your needs, quick and professional installation, and a price match guarantee. Empire Today is the best place to get new flooring. So you know what they've got. They've got copycats. But what the copycats can't beat is Empire Today on quality, service, or speed. So all they do is advertise low-quality products that Empire simply won't carry. Empire Today won't promise the lowest prices, because anyone who does that is putting flooring in your home that they wouldn't put in their own. The Empire philosophy is to help you find what you need, not overwhelm you with thousands of choices and substitutes. What we leave out of our selection is as important as what we put in. Empire's product team exhaustively combs through thousands of product samples each year to find the perfect styles. And the virtual floor designer is a great way to see how new floors will look in any space. It's easy. Just snap a picture and instantly see how new floors will look in your room. Schedule a free in-home estimate today. All listeners can receive a $350 off discount when they use promo code PHLY. Restrictions apply. See empiretoday.com/PHLY for details. And as always, 1-800-588-2300 Empire
Today.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, well, I think that will just about do it for us today on PHLY Flyers. We'll be back at 3 p.m. tomorrow with another live show. I'm pretty sure JP will be there with me.
I'm gonna be here.
So that's going to be a good time. Charlie will be joining us from a Montreal hotel room. Or he's going to be like, oh, my Wi-Fi. I don't know. We'll see. I lost my mic.
That French Canadian Wi-Fi.
I only make fun of him because I know he's not going to watch the rest of this show, so I can bust his balls, and he's not going to think I'm like making like. So it's great. But we'll be back tomorrow, obviously, post games on Thursday and Saturday as well. Make sure you are subscribed to YouTube. Follow the YouTube. Set those reminders. Never miss a live show. Follow us everywhere else. You watch all of our shows. You know where to get us. Twitter, the podcast, all that stuff. Just search our name and you'll find us. That'll do it for us. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for hanging out. My name is Bill Matz. For Charlie O'Connor and JP Zapata, have a great week, Philly.
Screw you, Rangers.
We all silly like the mayor.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.